The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have Hassan Godwin.
Yeah, that's me.
And we have our very own Charlie Saladino on the phone. No, not yet. Oh, he's going to be calling
so
back.
So he's not our very own.
Not yet.
He belongs to someone else.
Our
at
very
the
own Charlie Saladino will be calling in very shortly. Our senior correspondent.
Yeah, on the man on the field.
For those of you who haven't been paying attention, we've had a little hiatus, about like what, 2 months and a half?
A little equaling to a lot.
So we are back at our normal time slot, which is at 4 p.m.
So anyone tuning in to listen to the guy who was here last week,
he's not here anymore.
He's going to be on later, either earlier or later. That's the information I can give you.
Yes, he's not on now.
You either are an hour late trying to listen to him. Or an hour early trying to listen to them. One or the other.
So this is a comic book fantasy entertainment show that we talk about comics, fantasy, and entertainment and the like.
This is our 10th year, I think.
Yeah, we've been doing this for quite some time, on and off, for a long
time. Don't mention the on and off part, because it's more impressive.
Well, we just had a hiatus, so.
Okay. No, we didn't. Not according to us. We never take a break.
I am a comic book writer. I've been hosting the show for quite some time.
Mark.
I work in a movie theater, so I kind of have like a little inside track.
You work in the film industry.
Oh, in the film industry.
Yes, okay.
Our very own Hassan Godwin has worked in the comic book industry and is a comic book artist and writer of his own right. I have a published comic book. Yay.
As do I.
As does Hassan. Yay.
Yay.
Our very own Charlie Saladino has been in the industry.
Yeah, he's
for
a
years.
Book signer.
He worked for ABC for many years, and he has his own book that he signed. That's your book. You just hand it to him and he'll sign.
Right, right. Yes. That's his thing.
And that's what we do on the show. We have interviews occasionally and contests and what have you. But what we do is we introduce ourselves, what we just did, we take it away with the news.
Take it away with the news, Mark.
We like to start off with the sad news first.
Oh, yes.
Because
that's a new tradition.
There's no way of going, you want to go back up.
We got to keep it going upward mobile.
Excuse me, gentlemen, if I could jump in real quick. You do have a phone call. It's not who you think it is, but let's find out who it is. Caller, go ahead.
I have an idea. Hello,
Mark. How you doing, man?
Hi, what's going on?
It's Trevor. How you feeling?
Hey, Trevor. Oh, what's going
Trevor.
On?
Hassan, how are you, man?
I'm doing fine, Trevor. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I miss you guys. I guarantee you nobody won't take your slot anymore, all right? I made sure this time that you guys are back because we love you guys and we appreciate you guys. And we want to see another 10 years out of you guys, all right?
Well, thank you, Printer Man Trevor.
Thank you, Trevor.
You be well, man. I'm listening. You take care, all right?
All right, you too.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Look at that. From the management. We got a call from the management. That was awesome. Thank you, Printer Man. So sad news. See, that was good.
That was good news.
Good news. That was good news.
Okay, so it's kind of up, and now we're going to take it down a little bit with the sad news, and then we're going to try to lift it up again.
For those of you who were alive and watching TV in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, it was a little anime.
The 70s, 80s, and 90s?
70s, 80s, and 90s.
Heck. Who's listening now who wasn't alive in the 90s?
Well, you never know.
That's kind of creepy. All right, go ahead.
There was a little animation studio called Filmation.
Yes.
And headed by Filmation
did He-Man and Ghostbusters and a bunch of other old shows.
Was Lou Scheimer, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
Okay.
He just passed away. The founding father of
Filmation,
which was known for Star Trek, He-Man, the cartoons, Star Trek anime series, He-Man, Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids.
Wow.
There's I can just name off a bazillion.
Well, like Ghostbusters. So they're not the real Ghostbusters, but the
Ghostbusters with the monkey.
Yes, the fake Ghostbusters.
Well, actually, that was before the Ghostbusters, the Harold Ramis, Bill Murray one, because it was a TV show with the guys from F Troop, the two leads, the two from F Troop, the two guys, Corporal Agon and
I didn't. Yes, but I don't remember the names from the F Troop.
Larry Storch and the other guy. Right.
Yes, the other guy.
And they teamed up with a guy in a monkey suit, and they went around busting ghosts in a TV show,
which is where Bill Murray and Harold Ramis got the name from.
Yes.
So, which is really odd, because then they do the movie The Ghostbusters, and they get really famous for being the Ghostbusters, and then the Filmation does Ghostbusters based on the original Ghostbusters,
right?
Which is in which case then. TMS, I think it was, or whatever company that was, it took over the Harold Ramis, Bill Murray Ghostbusters, called them the real Ghostbusters, even though they were the follow-up Ghostbusters to the original Ghostbusters.
Correct.
Right. And when we were kids, we just believed what they told us. We thought that they were the real Ghostbusters.
These are the real Ghostbusters, not this guy with a monkey. And I believe that up until I went to the local video store, showing my age, and they had the original Larry Storch videotape that I never rented, to my dismay. I never
Why didn't you rent it, Mark?
It was just, I was like,
Mark.
I saw it, and I'm like, I'll rent it next time. And there was never a next time.
Because they closed Blockbuster down before you got a chance to rent it.
But yeah, it had the two of them, and Corporal Agon, and had the guy in a monkey suit. Set the Ghostbusters.
Sometimes you got to have a guy in a monkey suit to help you bust a ghost.
So he died on Thursday. Cause of death not revealed.
How old was he?
He was 85.
Well, we could probably extrapolate the cause of death for probably being 85. I mean, in the nicest possible way to say
that's
it.
That's mean. All right, well, you're 85.
Years old.
That's all the people who are 84.
A lot of things cause complications when you're in your 80s.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of things cause complications when you're in your 30s.
Yes. So Filmation also did such shows as Brave Star, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and Archie's, to name a few. Yeah. And he also provided some voices at times for some of the cartoons. Yeah.
Okay.
I know he did. I think he did the Dragon and He-Man.
Well, that's too bad.
So yeah, that's our sad news. As recently as of April of last year, he was acting as a film consultant to the Gang of Seven Animation. And DreamWorks purchased the entire Filmation library last year. So that means some of those properties might be coming back.
We can only hope.
All right. So now we're going to go to our little happy news.
All right. Happy news.
I'm ready for some happy news. This is just our regular news.
Okay.
Along with Charlie on the line.
Hey.
Charlie. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino. How are you?
I'm good, kids. Welcome back. How are you?
I am well.
We're good now that we're back.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm telling you, I miss the old studio.
So you're in your own studio right now? Is this very special Charlie Saladino studio?
I'm in my own studio watching you on the webcam.
Oh.
Wow, yeah, I just completely blew up for that.
I'm glad you did, because I hate talking about the webcam. But, yeah, there's a webcam there. Hello.
Hello.
Man.
So how's everybody? What's going on?
Well, we're doing we're trying to catch up and do some news, and then we're going to go into our spiel about the
New York Comic Con.
Oh boy, did I miss that this year? Yeah, I can't wait. All right, do the news. I'm hanging out on the phone.
All right. So the biggest news item that came out of the woodwork was from the New York Comic Con. It turns out that they decided to change the badge system to use what is called an RIFD, which is a radio frequency device.
Right.
So you can go in and go out of the convention.
Right. You had to scan your little ticket card in order to, and you had to scan it going out. If you wanted, you had to scan it coming in, and then when you went out, you had to make sure it was scanned going out, or you would not be able to get back in.
Correct. According to the pamphlet, they were going
to
give you, there were going to be some bad ninjas.
Because you would not have been scanned as leaving, so someone would have assumed that your ticket was a counterfeit ticket, or that you were trying to enter in twice.
Right.
So.
And according to the pamphlet that was handed out, you would be assaulted by badge ninjas.
Badge ninjas.
Yes. And I was looking for them, and I didn't see
them. Yeah, well, you can't, you're not ninjas. Yeah, you're not supposed to be able to see ninjas.
But what they decided to do is that to make it, quote-unquote, 100% cooler, they invited all people who had a badge to register it online using social media, which is obviously the big thing now.
Right.
So it was tied to people's Facebook accounts and Twitter accounts.
Oh. So if you wanted everybody in the world to know exactly where you were and exactly when you were there, you could use that and reveal all, and then the police would see it and say, oh, he's got a couple of warrants and know exactly where he's going to be. And now he's under arrest.
But,
oh,
bum, bum, bum. It turns out by linking it to your Twitter account, it allowed the New York Comic Con to post tweets for you. So a lot of people who were there, and professionals included, were saying tweets on how great they were time they were having at the New York Comic Con.
But they weren't really tweeting themselves.
And it, yes.
Mm. So they forged your tweets. And then being that, or it being that tweets are also, or already, basically public statements.
It sounds like propaganda, Conrad.
Yeah, it's fraud. That's why people are getting fired when they say stupid things about their boss on Twitter, or they say racist stuff, or they say sexist stuff, and they're like, oh, I was just going back and forth with my friends on social media. It's like, no, it's a public statement, idiot, and that's why you're allowed to be fired for it. And so now you, not only that, not only do people not know that or not that aware of what Twitter is while they're using it on a regular basis, but now you're saying that because of some little loophole, someone else is allowed to tweet for you, i.e. make a public statement for you.
Saying that you're having a great time.
That you're having a great, while you're being trampled to death in the show hall. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. And if anybody knows me, they know I don't mean that's fantastic.
So the NYCC later apologized for the event for any quote-unquote perceived overstep
we're
that they may have taken.
Sorry. We didn't realize that was going to be perceived as some kind of heinous miscarriage of private citizenry. Yeah. We didn't realize it. Now that the damage is already done and the show's over and we made our $1 billion revenue off of it, we didn't realize anything we were going to do was going to be that bad.
I have to defend the confusion on this, personally. I mean, the
full disclosure, shills.
New York Comic Con are friends of our show.
Shill.
And they treat us very well, but we are under no obligation to either, you know, be with or against them.
Yeah, then you can't show for them right
now.
But
I'm just saying that...
You're compromising your own integrity as a journalist.
No, I'm just saying that based on what I read, there's some information that me being a non-technology person would think that if I've said, oh, you know, you're going to sign up for our thing and we will post that you are at here and you're having a good time, be like, well, you are here and we're assuming you are having a good time. So it wasn't like this mass... thing. Maybe it was, but to me, I can see how a mistake could have happened, and then it kind of went out of hand.
That's not a mistake, though. It's not a mistake. Here's the thing. If they don't tell you that you're going to make... I'm going to make a personal statement for you. I'm going to make a public statement in the name of Mark Torres.
Right.
If you're not told that, then that's not a mistake. That's a violation. That's an oversight. That's not... There's, and everybody knows that. Everybody knows the laws of libel and slander and right. all that. So everybody knows those things. Okay, so that's a miscarriage. That's not correct, and you know that's not correct. There's nothing. I mean, I'm not versed in the law whatsoever. Full disclosure, and there is nothing about that that sounds right to me.
What was the thing you said on Facebook? You're like, oh, a judgment is a pass, and now everybody got their law degrees.
Yes, yes, exactly. Okay, that's fine, and I did say that. That's fine. And I made a public statement by saying that. Yeah, but here's the thing. It's true. It's not correct. It's incorrect. It's blatantly incorrect. To make a statement in somebody else's name.
That's wrong. Yes,
think
I agree.
About that.
That is wrong.
Okay.
Yes. But I'm just saying that they said it was overstepping their boundaries.
That's the thing. But I don't understand how you could not realize it's an overstep before you made an overstep. That's a blunder. That's an incredible.
You present a valid argument.
Thank you. It's almost like, I didn't realize that you couldn't drive with your eyes closed on all this cough syrup. I did not realize that.
So let's ask our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino. When you were at ABC, let's say they did something like this. Let's say, you know, you had to use your badge to get in. Yeah, you did have a badge when you worked for ABC, right?
No, of course not.
they just
took us on our word.
Yeah, exactly. Come on in. You look familiar. Come on in.
You know, let me tell you something. The funny thing about that is the security company they hired, I mean, after a while, it got to be a joke because we would show our badges, and you had a feeling that they weren't even looking at you. So what we did was we cut all Disney characters out and replaced our picture with them. And they did not even know it. I walked in as Cinderella, I can't tell you how many times. So there you go. So, continue.
But what were you saying?
Never mind. So, you know, shame on them, New York Comic Con. Boo.
Yeah, boo New York Comic Con. Boo New. We're going to spend the rest of the time talking about how great the Comic Con was. So, yeah, it's only fitting that we say bad Comic Con. Bad.
And you know what? You got to say the bad things with the good. We can't be positive all the time. If it's bad, you got to let the people know.
Exactly. Yes. That's what I'm saying. We can't shill, man. No shilling. Yeah.
I made it a point to make sure this was a news
item. You're shilling like a villain.
They messed up.
Yeah. Yes.
They did mess up.
Yes. That's a big...
My advice to them is start drinking heavily. Yes.
The views and opinion of our very own senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, does not necessarily reflect those.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm going to take it to. This is always a problem. I'm going to take it to the nth degree. I don't believe that they didn't know that was an overstep before they did it. I don't buy what they're saying. Like, we didn't realize that stealing anybody's name and making comments and statements in their name publicly to the entire world was wrong.
Somebody somewhere must have thought that this wasn't going to be a backlash. So,
but I mean, how
somebody must have thought this was a good idea.
That's insane. How can you think that the way the world is today, with everybody outraged on a regular basis about the dumbest things ever?
Yes.
People don't have anything to be upset about. People have nothing to be upset about, and they're upset. They're upset when movies aren't the best that they should be. They're upset with old movies. They're upset with movies that came out in the 70s.
They're upset with casting choices.
Ben Affleck and all that. Okay, so you're going to tell me that the people, that a populace this volatile about anything is just going to overlook the fact that they look at their Twitter feed and they say, hey, I just said I had a great time at New York Comic Con. I didn't say that. Where'd that come from? And they're going to go, I don't know. Hey, Charlie, do you have a... Yeah, actually, I do. I just looked at my I looked at my Twitter feed, and I said something about the Comic-Con, too. Hey, Wilma, what about you? Hey, I do. I'm not even there. I'm at the laundry. I'm not even enjoying myself at the Comic-Con. What's going on? You don't think that's going to be a problem? You don't think that's going to be a problem?
Somebody didn't, obviously.
And that someone is fired.
he's on the bench.
Unemployed.
He's on
right
the,
now.
He's on the bench with John Favreau,
yes.
Terrence Howard,
exactly.
The kid from Two and a Half Men, and then that guy.
It is great how you guys just pick up and just keep moving. I love it.
Can you imagine?
We're not picking up. This is how we deal with each other on a regular basis. That's the thing.
Could you imagine if there was this one guy who went to the Comic-Con, then on the way home he gets mugged on the subway, and then if that's not bad enough, he goes back and sees a tweet saying he had the best time ever.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
The best time. And I got so many good things that are now part of the guy who mugged me.
Yeah. Including being mugged. Because that was my favorite thing. Someone
nothing
about,
I
like,
nothing I like more than to be held up at gunpoint.
He puts a tweet, getting mugged now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, someone on the way to Comic-Con gets hit by a bus. I had the greatest time at Comic-Con. I didn't even get there. I mean, he's in like the hospital now with a full body cast and his legs up in stirrups or whatever they call that thing. And he's like, I wasn't even there. I never even made it across the street to get to the place. How did I tweet this? How did this happen? How did this happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't think anybody... That's the thing I don't buy. How can you not think anyone's going to be upset about that? That's what I don't get.
This is the new trend. This is the new trend. You see it all over the place. Do you remember when J-Lo did the concert for the dictator, and then and then she, everybody was saying, oh my God, this guy's a tyrant, this guy's a thing. You know what the plan B was? Camp said, we didn't realize, we didn't know anything about that. There's no such thing as papers or anything where we come from.
In the information age, you had no information on it. When you could just Google someone, you didn't have any information that this was going to be bad. I only had 3G, so I couldn't. While I was in,
you were in a 2G area,
Bangalore or whatever country I was in, doing this concert for this guy who's, you know. Who's killed half a billion people. I didn't realize that I was doing anything wrong.
And and it's like Yahoo. They just changed. They didn't ask me. I hate it. I can't change back. I got to deal with it. You know? It's like, I have no say anymore. And there's always plan B. Well, it'll get better.
No, it's not. That's what they're saying about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's the main consensus of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's going to get better. It's just, no one's saying it's good. Everyone's saying, I'm going to stick with it. It's going to get better. You know something is not good when the most positive thing someone can say about it is, it's going to get better.
And that's the studios.
Well, it's the giant monster that it is. There's no way they're going to let it die. That's just how it's going to be.
It's just going to be that bad. It could be. They could run into some serious problems. I mean, if nobody watches it, then that's going to be bad.
They'll change it so that people will watch it. Mm. So the last bit of news. Speaking of the New York Comic Con.
Oh, last bit of news. How did we do the news so fast? it's like going by.
This is one of the biggest things that was the talk before the convention was that Sylvester Stallone was going to be signing at the New York Comic Con.
I remember this. I heard something about this when I was
He never signs.
He did, I think, this time.
Right, that's the whole thing. He was going to sign at the New York Comic Con Sunday. Big deal.
Right.
But once again, you also get the negative about it, which that he was going to be charging $245 for an autograph.
Per autograph.
Per person. $245 for Stallone. And everybody's like, oh, I can't believe it. You know, blah, 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 blah. And I thought,
is it $200-something per autograph?
Yes.
Or per... person. So like if autograph. A person pays $200-something, they could get four or five things signed.
One sign.
One autograph.
Yes, one item
signed.
Not
even a picture.
Not even a picture. Correct. Not even a picture.
Hmm. Oh my God.
So
Who do you think he is? Lou Ferrigno?
I took it upon myself to investigate this.
Well done, Mark.
My journalistic... integrity was, I had to go. So I went to the booth, and he was going to be on Sunday. I wasn't there on Sunday. And they had a nice little flyer.
Okay.
And on the flyer, it says, for an autograph ticket, Sylvester Stallone will be charging $395. Not $247. You're wrong. $395 per item. And if you wanted him to sign a boxing glove, you would have to pay $30 more. And if you wanted him to sign a special Rocky photo, which was 11.5 by 14, you had to pay $20 more on top of the $395. And if that's not enough, he will be there and you can take a picture with him if you wanted. And if you did, you would have to pay $445 to take a picture of him.
And your first born male child.
So then I went around, I talked to people, and then they're like, well, what if you wanted to get a picture and an autograph? Would you have some kind of combined deal? No. You would have to pay both the $395 and the $445 to take a picture with Sylvester Stallone and get an autograph. How about that?
I bet he had lots of lines.
Why didn't they just call it $400? Why is it that $5 off of $395?
Because you're getting a deal.
To make it sound better. You're getting a deal. You're getting it. All right. See, here's the thing, people. You got to resist this stuff. That's absolutely insane. That is the most insane thing I've ever heard. $395 just to get an autograph. And if you have specialty items, specialty items. He's going to punch you in the heart for even more money on and top your, of the 300.
And they're your things.
That's insane. I have nothing to say about that. I would, you know what? Here's the thing. I would be in jail. If I, oh my God, Sylvester Stallone's going to be at the New York Comic Con. I have to go now. I have to spend the $40 or whatever.
$75
to get into the show.
That's right.
I have to, on a day, per day. Is it $75 a day or is it
for 3-day pass? Like
3-day pass. 40, so what is it? How much of it costs for a day?
$50.
$40 for a day. Okay, let's just say that. Okay, that's fair. Okay, so I'm going to go and I'm going to shell out the $40 to get there, right?
That's
and I'm going to deal with the lines and all this other stuff.
That's right.
And then I'm going to finally get to the place where Sylvester Stallone, my hero, is going to be there.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get him to autograph a picture, some pictures. My uncle was a huge Sylvester Stallone fan, and he had a Sylvester Stallone 8x10 glossy, whatever. I don't know what that says about him. But he had this, and then he kicked it. He died, and he left this picture. I'm going to get it signed as a commemorative whatever, and in the name of my uncle and whatever, and that's going to be a thing. And I'm going to get there. I provide my own picture. And this guy's going to hit me in the head for $400.
$395.
No, $400. $5 couldn't even get you on an express bus in New York City. So what the heck do I care about the $5 it took off? I'm going to get hit for $400 just to get this picture that I already have.
Yep.
Signed by this guy who's 300 years old and looks like he's being held together with butterscotch and duct tape. That's fine. Okay, so once I get in there, I say, $400, okay, that's going to hurt, but I came all this way to do this. At least I got my iPhone. I'm going to take a picture with Sylvester Stallone with me holding this picture, and then that'll be worth it. And then I go, hey, Mr. Stallone, could you take a picture with me? And he says, okay, and I'm feeling good about this whole thing because he just signed his name. He didn't, mind you, he didn't make an inscription of, dear Tommy, sorry about your uncle, you know, sorry about the $400, but, you know, whatever. Thanks. No, $400, okay? And he just signs it as Sylvester Stallone, which is like, look, let's be honest. It's two squiggly lines. I could have signed it and said I was Sylvester Stallone. But that's fine. I'm going to take a picture with him now so everybody knows that this happened. And I got this. And I did this thing for my uncle and my family.
You tweeted about it.
Right. And I get to the place and there's some other guy, because it wouldn't be him.
That's right.
It would not be him.
That's right.
Because if he's any kind of savvy, it wouldn't be him. Some other guy dressed in, you know, some Dark Lord outfit or whatever with a change purse is going to go, I'm sorry, son, but in order for that to happen, you'll have to pay us again. And I say, all right, or what is it, another $30, another $40? I got a little bit of money because, I don't know, I just sold my house. Why not? How much is it going to cost? Yeah, I got the $5 back from the $400. How much are you going to hit me for? And he's going to say $400. And I'm going to go, why?
$45. Okay. See, there's the five, $445.
So see, that's the thing. It's a $395, right? $395, and he's going to say $400, and I'm going to hand him back the $5. And I say, well, once you take this $5 back, you'll actually have $400, right? So that's what you mean, right? It means it's $400 instead of $395 if I want to get a picture with him. It's only $5 extra if I want to get a picture with him. And he goes, no, it's another $400 on top of the $395. So $795 you pay just to get your own picture autographed and a picture with Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
And then you still got to do other things, you know, like go home, you know, buy dinner, you know, eat, do all those other things to keep you alive that day.
After clothes for your kids.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly. After $795 stab in the back through the heart, you still have to go on with your life. And they think that that's okay. Everyone is talking about no one has any work in the economy and whatever. And this guy's going to show up and tell you that he wants four. What is it? Who is it? $400. For what? For what?
Well, you know,
I don't love anybody that much. I don't love anybody that much. If someone told me it cost me $400 to get my grandfather back, I'd be like, I don't know. Granddad's been dead a while. He might be happy where he is. I'm flabbergasted. I'm done. I'm probably not going to speak the rest of the show.
Well, let me just calm down, take a couple of breaths. Let me just elaborate on that. Maybe he did not want to do Comic-Con, and they said you need to do it. This is one of the biggest moves you can make, and he did not want to do it. So he made some outrageous demands, like those prices, because when Dean Martin, they said he needed to do a show, he didn't want to do a show, and they said to the studio, says, just tell us what you want. He made the most outrageous demands, and you know what? The studio accepted it. He wasn't ready to do a show. He didn't think they would ever accept it. They accepted it. So we got to find out. Maybe Stallone didn't even want any part of this. And he said, oh, okay, I'll make some outrageous demands because I am the law. So, you don't know.
That still makes him an idiot because it's you know what? It's going up in his name. It's gonna be done in his name. So even if it's some outlandish demand that the studio made in order to justify the expense, it's still gonna go as Sylvester Stallone is charging me $400 for an autograph. So you gotta do something right there to protect your own name. I'm not doing it. This is the studio doing it. The studio wanted me to be there, and the studio is gonna charge you $400. And then if I were him, even if, and this would be the most despicable thing, and this would be something I would do, all right? Even if I said, look, if you want me to be here, you're going to have to pay me X amount, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, Mr. Godwin, we're going to have to charge $400 for autographs. Like, yeah, you go ahead and do it. I dare you. I do go ahead and do it. And they did it. When I was there, I would start signing things for free and make the studio look like a bad guy. I would do that. That's what I would do. That's what you got to do if you want to maintain the hero status. And I know, I bet you he wasn't doing that. So it's still his name. That's still a problem. That's Sylvester Stallone's problem.
Now, let me ask you: Did that happen at Comic-Con? Was he there?
Yeah.
Was anyone on his line?
See, I wasn't there on Sunday, so I wanted to see the line. I wasn't there on Sunday, but
oh my God, we got to call our friends and find out.
But
yeah,
he,
I can't imagine.
He was there, and I gave the lady the look that Hassan gave me while I was just reporting this item on the news. And the lady said with her straight face, in the most serious way she could, she said, well, he's flying in from Bulgaria, and he's doing an exclusive thing for you. That's why it's so much.
Sylvester Stallone doesn't need my money. It's not like Comic-Con's going to put another wing on his house.
He was doing us a favor by
coming
in.
He's not doing me a favor.
Flying in.
I'm doing him a favor for letting him sign his name that he was born with, okay, onto my piece of paper and charging me $400 for it. And I'm doing him a favor not taking a swing at him because of it. Regardless of whether I would have won, because it is Sylvester Stallone. He does beat people up for a living. All right? That's the favor. The favor is I'm going to let you charge me this and not call the cops for robbing me. That's a favor. You're not doing me a favor by making me pay. I've never had a $400 favor. Thank God, $400.
What, $395?
It could.
and we didn't ask him to come over from Bulgaria.
Yeah, you let him stay there.
I didn't want him. I would have waited till he could have made it. Save a lot
especially
of money.
Especially if it's going to cost me $400.
Yeah. If you wait a week, it'll cost you $20. All
right,
I'll wait.
Yeah, exactly. Let him fly around his own. I'll wait right here the whole week, as a matter of fact. I will sleep here if it doesn't cost me $400.
It would have been cheaper to fly to Bulgaria and get the autograph.
Yeah, round trip. Go get in the airport. Take a cab to his hotel.
Yeah.
Pay the bellhop to sneak you in, and then get him to sign it. Get back out. Get back to the airport. Get back home. It's still gonna. That's $200 at the most.
Yeah.
So you save $195.
I'm telling you, it's insane.
That's insane. That's crazy. That's the bad news. That's worse than the Filmation guy. That's bad news.
Oh, man.
That's bad news. So, you ended that on a down note.
Well, normally we would take our break, but we're already going through. So we'll just carry on with the talking about the New York Comic Con.
Fine.
New York Comic Con is now pound for pound by volume, the biggest comic book convention, pop culture convention in the entire United States.
Really? Bigger than San Diego?
Bigger than San Diego by attendance because of the size. And
seriously?
Because so, remember, they were almost there as last year. But ticket sales and attendance is
so
just...
So it's comparable to San Diego.
Yes.
So now...
However, it's just not the same feel. You know, it's just... It'll never be the same. You know, having
been
to San Diego...
Well, San Diego's been around since forever. Since forever, forever.
Having been to San Diego, the entire city shuts down and turns it into an event for the entire city.
New York's not
this is New York. You know, on a Thursday, you can see a guy in a suit. Spider-Man. Yeah. You can see overweight Spider-Man running around.
Times Square. For no reason.
Yes.
It's just because he's the guy in the suit.
So,
Times Square.
I did get to go. I went on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I know, Hassan, did you get to go on?
I went on Sunday. So I went on Saturday and Sunday.
And you didn't go check to see if Sylvester Stallone was there? You
I did not go check to see if, I didn't know. You didn't tell me that was one of my missions. I would have gone to see if anyone was on his freaking line. I would have been happy to do that. I will say before we start anything that this year is much nicer. I don't know what this means for Reed, for the company, whatever the company is that does.
Reed, yeah.
Reed, okay. It was much nicer this year because it wasn't nearly as jam-packed and crowded. I know they were doing a lot of construction last year on the floor, and that took some space up. And when they were telling me that this year as we were going in, I was like, it's not going to matter because they're just going to squeeze more people in there. It's just going to be the same. But it was much nicer. It was easier to move around. You still had to kind of ebb and flow with people a little bit, but it was way easier to get around in that place and visit people and see people and to do things on a Saturday, which is usually the biggest day there.
And they did have the entire Javis Center. Like
yeah.
Corner to corner.
Which
everything was
which
there.
Which is awesome, by the way, to see the whole place lit up and like that. And that's, I mean, look, if they nuked that place, they would wipe out the geek population on the Eastern Seaboard. They would have got us all. It would have been, I mean, that's not to give anybody any ideas, but I'm just saying, you don't like geeks, that's the way you get them. Okay? Because that place was geek deep. It was unbelievable.
The views of us.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. Do not necessarily reflect
that. That goes without saying, no matter when. It was like I opened my mouth in my car. My car is basically telling me, look, these are your thoughts, man. I just move around. I just get you from place to place. All right, so there's that. They still need to do something about the lunch area, the dinner, the midday. I know there's not
eatery.
Much. The eatery section, because that is insane. That's just a gambit. The food's never really that good because they're rushing to accommodate at least 1,000 people every hour. So the meal I had there was.
But that's
like,
the Javis Center itself. It's not.
Well, that's
what
they
got to
do something about that.
I mean, that's the Javis Center. That's there.
They need all work on that.
They
can't
dictate what the food venue.
So I didn't say them. I said someone's got to work on it. The only thing I said about Reed was that I don't know if this is any good. This means something good or bad for them that the place was less packed than last year. I know last year there was a lot of counterfeit badges, which could maybe explain why it was so crowded that a lot of people were in there for cheating to get in, and a lot of people were in there for free. One negative was the food. If you go there, just bring your own food, find a place to eat, because the Javits Center is going to hit you right in the nose for a simple roast beef sandwich or something like that. So that's going to be A, that's going to be the problem. And B, there's never really any place to sit. There's never any place to relax for it. You know, they charge about $6 per soda, which is kind of crazy. So I'm just getting all this negative stuff out of the way before we go into the positives. And the other kind of downside I found, and this only happens on a Sunday, all right? But when they're closing down, they decide, okay, the show's closed. Now you got to leave. And
warning.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, they don't really warn you. I think they blink the lights once to let you know. Which is not good. That's not the way you clear out a room full of 1,000 people. And B,
successfully anyway.
I think they close it down, and their attitude is that, you need to freaking leave because we told you to leave. And that's just not how you do it. You know, I mean, I understand that might not be the management's knowledge of what's going on. But you need to give people time to leave. They come. They spent a lot of money. They spent a ridiculous amount of money to get to this show and to be in the show and be on the floor. Then God knows how much money they spent on the floor at the dealer's room. All right? Give them the time to leave quietly. Don't ruin the show.
The convention will be closing in an hour.
Don't ruin the show by being jerks to the people after they've shopped there. That's just fuel. That's ammunition. That's fuel. There's nothing's going to happen to this show. The show is getting bigger and bigger every year. So you don't lose anything by being magnanimous about clearing the show floor out. You hire these volunteers, these people who want to go to the show for free, and then you tell them, okay, we got to clear this place out. And then these people come up and they start kicking your bags. I saw a lot of crazy stuff on Sunday about them, you know, tearing down booths and all kinds of stuff. Not good. So that's bad. So those are the two main really terrible things. The third terrible thing would have been how crowded it was, but they managed to get that under control, probably with the elaborate ticket system that you were talking about earlier. Which was nice.
I think they all still need to figure out like some one-way lanes or something. It's just certain areas.
They should. But the problem with that, and I know this a little bit from working at Wizard, is that you kind of, because everything is blogged out and everything is immediately newsworthy, you kind of want it to be chaotic so that people can say, wow, this show is really successful. There's thousands of people here. You know, I just get the impression there's more than people than last year, and it's kind of haphazard and crazy. No matter what the staff was doing to try to quell this nonsense, it was out of control. And you want that good publicity. So I don't know how hard they work on that stuff.
Right. I ran into a couple of our friends of the show.
Yes.
Best, of course, is the Loaded Barrel guys. They have the new Brielle and Ahara comic out, which was awesome.
It's beautiful. And I didn't get a signed copy, but that's okay.
That's right. You didn't get a signed copy.
No, I didn't get a signed copy.
You just argued about Man of Steel the whole time.
It wasn't an argument. We were in agreement about that.
That was an agreement?
Yeah, we were agreeing. We agreed. You didn't listen to the conversation.
No, you just heard blah, blah, blah.
which is basically what it sounds like when
Patrick O'Reilly
anyway.
And his...
Yes,
Electrolyte. The guy who can cure hangovers, power can cure hangovers.
which is
he was
fantastic.
A guest on our show, and he has his newest issue, number 6, out. So that was kind of nice. We ran into the candy zombies, or high fructose zombies, from Sarah Redley and David Phillips. They were on our show, and they were the happiest couple who made comic books ever. And I was asking them how they were, and they had 3 more issues out since last year. Last year, they only had 1 issue.
Nice.
And in the time, they had 3. They managed to make 3 more issues, hardcover books you can pick up. Our friends from... Eric Wilson Ramos made the hookup based on his stuff that he has right there. There you go, on a web camera. That's was it Crazy 8? Section 8 comics, sorry.
Yes,
Section 8 comics.
Section 8 comics.
I'm going to say Crazy 8, Section 8 comics. And we also ran into some new guys. Actually, one of the people who I ran into was an old friend of ours from way back in comic book school.
Wow, Russ Braun.
Russell Braun. Who worked on a comic called The Boys, which I had no idea. I just knew he was a teacher of ours.
Yes, he was.
Turns out that The Boys is a very popular comic book about if superheroes were actually real and the devastation and the effects of what happens when two superheroes really fight, like a real fight, not like a Hollywood fight.
Well.
Like an end-to-second fight, like if Bruce Lee, you know, actually fought somebody as opposed to, you know, on TV.
You can watch Man of Steel to find out exactly what it would look like if... If two selfish superheroes like start to clash in the middle of a city.
All these guys will be guests back on talking about their stuff. I wanted to quickly mention it because it was awesome. I saw Anthony Daniels was there.
Nice.
And he had the longest line on the autograph area.
Congratulations.
The convention was well designed, I think. They managed to have the main floor, which is pretty wide out, so tons of stuff. Of course, you know, me being a Power Ranger fan, they had a nice Power Ranger booth, which I was very happy about.
Oh,
downstairs, they had the autograph area, and then all the way to the far right, they had the Artist Alley, which was also separated last year.
I didn't even make it to Artist Alley this year.
And people were complaining about that last year, about how they were separated, but people came because there was just so many people. And the same thing this year, another busy con. Everybody, the people I spoke to were happy. It was business was moving around, so that was good.
So you're saying the layout was pretty correct this time out?
Okay. They had Hulk Hogan was there. He was only charging $60 for an autograph and $90 for
a
picture.
And even that's a punch in the heart, you know? But, I mean, that's a $60 punch in the heart is a lot easier to deal with than a $400. I don't want to.
Shatner was there. William Shatner was there.
How much was he charging?
$60.
$60. He's charging hair pieces. How many hair pieces is this going to cost me?
Friends of ours from way back when we first started doing the show, from Quantum Rock of Ages. We finally have James Rodriguez's comic book, Sarah Rising. It finally came out. He was super excited about that. So you might want to check out his stuff.
Nice. It looks nice. Wow.
The Comic Arts Guild was there, and they're friends of ours also. Mark Maz.
We went to his after party.
Yes, we went to the after party, which I want to make a quick mention about the performance that was there. It was a guy called Mike Groisman. You can find him on MikeGroisman.com. But he was a guy they found performing in the subway.
Yeah.
And he was, like, awesome on the guitar.
Yes, he was.
And I was amazed by how well this guy was. And I was like, where'd you find this guy?
He was just a guy standing there all by himself with a guitar and an amp and and a little bit of music in the background.
A beat.
Yeah, a beat going through. And he was... He kind of caught us because it's easy when you see those guys setting up that you're like, oh, it's going to be okay. I guess we're going to just have to deal with this music in the background. And it's just some guy noodling on a guitar doing like Van Halen solos and stuff like that. But this guy was really, he was really nostalgic. He played some really great 80s pieces of music. The theme from Top Gun. He played Crazy Train what's his name?
You're on your own.
What's
with
his name? Crazy Train with the Aussies. Oh my God, I'm gonna get murdered by people. Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train. He played a bunch of things from that era, very recognizable to all of us because we're all fogies, and it was quite enjoyable.
And it sounded like he wasn't playing. That was the best part. It sounded like a
droning soundtrack in the background or through a jukebox. So that was really nice.
And of course, you know, I have to mention my biggest thing because last year. Being a Power Ranger fan, Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, Tommy, was there, and I wanted to meet him, and I thought it was just going to be me and like 8 other guys, the Power Ranger fans that existed, to go meet him, and his line was so long, and I didn't get a chance because they had cut off the line, they said he wasn't going to sign, and then it turns out that on his Facebook page, he said that he had stayed after they said that he wasn't going to sign, and he signed everybody, and I was upset, so for a whole year has passed by, and then he was there again this year, and he had the second biggest line at the convention. So you got Anthony Daniels, Jason David Frank.
Yeah. What does that tell you? Well, you don't know how long the Sylvester Stallone Millionaires line was, right?
I did not. Sigourney Weaver had a line, and she was also part of the Sylvester Stallone troupe, and she was charging $385 for an autograph and a picture.
$385? You're just telling me this now?
And she
I could have put that as part of the rant from
and
earlier.
She had quite a line, you know, but they had like a secret area that she was in.
Yeah, so you know what the secret area is? The secret area is for, you know, Billionaire's Boys Club who wants to come and get an autograph. The secret area is so that she doesn't get murdered for asking $385 for an autograph. I can't even fathom this.
But
I can't fathom asking that much for an autograph.
During my adventures in the convention, I actually wound up seeing Jason Darian Frank's line was short, the shortest it had ever been. And so I felt that I had to go and get my Jason Darian Frank autograph, my Power Ranger autograph.
That's not gay.
And it turns out that
it's not gonna work, man. You can't justify it.
No,
how much did you pay for that?
$20 for the picture,
$20
for the autograph.
In comparison, wait, $40.
$40.
$40.
Which is probably the most. Well, if I had brought my own item, it would have been $20. But you know, a lot of autographs, you purchase the picture in front of them, which is a common place for autographs.
Okay. I know you've been a fan for many years.
And
to
my credit, $40 was the most I would pay for anybody. Like,
so you know, you say?
I was like, all right, $20. I was like, all right, $20. And I was like, well, I don't have anything to get. I was like, I'll probably buy a picture. I thought it was going to be $15 because that's usually they charge, but he charged $20. Fuck.
If he had the longest line last year, I would have charged more for that.
No, but that's the thing. It's for him. It's all about the fans.
Not really.
When I ran into him, you know,
you could have dinged your fan in the head for $40.
I was and you got to take a picture with him for free.
Oh well, no, it didn't cost you another $40 to take a picture with
him.
No, he's ahead of the game then.
Completely free, and like I said, he had the second longest line. And when I went up to him, you know, I had my little nerves, but then my professionalism took over.
Your nerves.
I had nerves.
Everybody would.
I was, you know, I'm a big fan, and I wanted to meet him. And then he was a very talented, very approachable guy. There's a good chance he's going to do our show, so hooray for that. He'll be a guest on the show, but. When I spoke to him, he was a very down-to-earth
kind of cool
guy.
You gonna be able to talk
to
him if he's a guest on the show? You gonna be able to have a conversation?
Yeah, because about 2 seconds before I actually spoke to him, my professionalism kicked in. And he was like, all right, fan, get out of here. You're on. You better perform now. And I was like, hi, how you doing? You know, blah, blah. You know, I've been a fan. I was here. And he said that he was there for 7 hours straight signing, no breaks. And that's why his line was so short. He got everybody.
You got to give it to him. All right, fair enough.
And then, you know, you go on his Facebook page. It's all about social media. And he said that he was there for, you know, 13 hours all day just signing. Signing all day. So, and for somehow, some reason, between last year and this year, he's like the figurehead for Power Rangers because, you know, this 20th anniversary, they're coming back. Saban had bought the company, bought the property back from Disney, which was running into the ground. And he's really pushing it. And he comes back to act in an episode for the 20th anniversary, which has all the old characters from all the 20th seasons coming together. Yeah,
even,
so
even...
Amy Jo Johnson was invited to come, but she refused because of a whole bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah, because she's a star.
But it's kind of nice to see that 20 years, he's really pushing this thing, and he's popular. And I like him more now than I did back then. He wasn't even my favorite Power Ranger back then. I liked him. But as a person, you know, as you know, you meet celebrities all the time. You've met tons of celebrities, Hassan.
Yeah, I've met a few people.
And after you meet them, you get a new or worse.
I gotta say, on average, after I meet stars, I usually have a worse attitude about them. So it's always good when you have a situation where you meet someone and you're really happy about it and you're enthusiastic.
He runs up and down the line. He takes pictures of you. He puts pictures of you on his Facebook page. So for 2 years straight, he took a video, and I was in the video. I was like, hey, there I am, waving a hand like an idiot. But there I was. On his Facebook page, you know, and he does contests, and he, you know, and he has tons of other stuff that he's promoting. So,
for the
just,
record,
just,
I did not act like this when we met Mark Hamill last year.
That's true.
For the record,
you were quiet.
Yes,
like I've never seen you before.
Because
I saw the little Hassan going.
Yee! Because I was very starry eyed, very happy and enamored, but I remained cool.
And
you
that's cool. That's another thing. Like the professional
not
took over.
Not if got pictures of you waving
when
your
I,
hand.
When I interviewed
like
Mark Hamill, I was the professional. I just, you know, the professional took over.
I didn't even ruin the situation by asking Mark Hamill to sign anything. That's, even though he was standing right there and he touched me.
I'm going
to
charge you.
What would
have happened if he would have whipped out, you got to pay $500
I would have been like, well, thank you very much, Mark Hamill. I'm going to leave now. Goodbye. I wouldn't have said anything to him because he's Mark Hamill. And you can't say anything bad to Mark Hamill, but I would have been like, I can't believe Mark Hamill tried to charge me for $500 for this darn.
So we have about 5 minutes left. Charlie, do you have any questions for us? Since you didn't get to go to the convention, any questions you need to know?
Yeah, I felt, let me tell you something. This was the first year of many that I missed the Comic-Con. Not my fault, but I missed it really. So much was our friends... Rob Longo there and Marissa Jade.
Marissa Jade was there. I want to say she's a friend of us because she never came on the show yet.
we've been in touch, so it might happen.
So, yes, she was there. Rob Longo was not there. He is actually busy rebooting his Vixens of Virtue, Vixens of Vice, and as soon as they're ready to relaunch, they're going to come back on and talk about that. Who else are you interested that we did not mention there, Charlie?
Pretty much, I just basically missed the. It was just pathetic not to be able to go because you know how much we love them, we love those people, and we love the Comic-Con, and it was really rough missing it this year. So that's my final thought.
Oh, look at that! Charlie even has the final thought, just like old times.
Yeah.
I say the New York Comic-Con from the inception. You know. From when we the first year to when it was just like a little room and it was sold out, you couldn't get in, and it's grown exponentially to now. I think they still have some kinks to work out, but it looks like they're improving every year.
Yeah, and I just think it's great that it's as big as San Diego. So now you can almost justify not having to go to San Diego to see to get the ultimate comic book experience.
Like I said, it's
I know it doesn't have the same feeling.
It doesn't have the same feeling.
East Coast,
you know, we were
a complete coast away. It's gonna have a different vibe.
You know, I remember when I was in San Diego, we were just walking along, and there was a guy in a taco suit, and he was like, "Hey, you want to see a free movie premiere?" We're like, "Sure." We walked in, and Seth Green was standing in front of the movie theater screen talking about his movie. You're not gonna get that in Manhattan.
No, you know,
and the Javis Center is so far away, you kind of
the Javits is that that it is a remote location for the Javits. That is what's the most annoying thing about it every year is it's just it's utterly difficult to get to it.
And I remember from our talks with the showrunners last year, they said that they're trying to even incorporate other parts of the city so they can have like some type
they
of shuttle
just need
bus
shuttles.
Going on.
Yeah, they need to
back
invent
and forth
some shuttles
and try to incorporate the entire city.
They
and
will.
They're working on it. So
it's getting big enough that they'll be able to justify that.
But of course, you know, no more tweeting for other people. Don't do that.
I would not do that.
We do not recommend that. Also, I don't know what more they can do to improve it. I mean, they're
just going to have to let it grow now naturally. You know, whatever development plans they may or may not have, it's all going to be it's all going to be trial and error. So as they go along, they're going to realize, okay, we need to fix this. The bigger we get, we're going to need to. But right now, they probably can't even foresee half of the problems they're going to have 10 years from now or whatever.
Yeah, sure. So that about does it for this week on It Came From The Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB.
Now.
If you missed any part of our show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com, listen to the archives, which will be up in a week or so. Now we're digital, so we can be a little easier.
Hey, technology.
And we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.